I just want to say one other thing before I ask him to come up. You know, as I was watching that, it made me think that, you know, Daniel and his family are not called to do anything different than what you're called to do. There's really no difference between Daniel's family and my family or your family. I was thinking as I watched them feeding the help the homeless up there, you know, we've got a man in our church that works at TVA, and he started a Bible study at TVA, and then he started taking people from that Bible study from TVA down to work with the homeless. They've led him to the Lord. I got a text from him this week, one of the homeless men they had prayed for, and he had gotten a job. That's not the ministry of the church building. That's the ministry of the church, the people. So as they come up here, what I want you to do, this is not a missionary report. We're here to thank God for what he's done. They're here to show you what he's done in their life. It's the same thing that God wants to do in our lives. So as they come up here, I want you to listen to what God has to say for them. And come on up with your family, Daniel. And I guess the first thing that I want to do is let you just kind of introduce your family here.
Okay. Well, this is Thomas and Jacob and Micah and my wife Sarah. And then we have three others in our home back in Costa Rica, Manuel, Cecilia, and then Madeline, who are Costa Rican, and they weren't able to get visas and join us this trip, but they're hoping to be here maybe in December if we make it back.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple questions for you, but before I hit the first question, I love this picture. I got it off their website right there of them riding together. Isn't that a cool picture? And I wanted to mention something about it because, you know, they've got a great marriage. And when we read through the Bible, it's the marriage that is the real tool that reveals the mystery of Christ in the church. You remember that verse in Ephesians? It's a strange verse, but what is more powerful than seeing two people who actually are partners in serving Christ? And I look out here and I see many couples and families here that you guys minister together. Or you minister together as partners. You may be in different places ministering, but Christ and what he's doing in your life and what he's doing through your life is a huge deal. And really, that's an enormous part of your ministry, is your marriage. And you're not a missionary alone in Costa Rica. But I noticed in the video, I mean, I don't want to say anything about it, but I think I saw her more than you.
Yeah.
And was that because of the filming or no? I'm kidding. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of point that out because I think that's an important part of really even seeing who they are. They're there to live out their faith and let people see Christ. Now, I just want to take a minute and ask you, because I know you didn't just all of a sudden snap your fingers and you were in Costa Rica, but I just want you guys to let me know, how did you get from America to Costa Rica on the mission field?
Yeah. Well, a big part of my journey actually begins here at Eastwood, because it was here that I came right after graduating from high school. Not a lot of direction, and really not even with a faith of my own. I was still kind of riding my parents' faith, and it was here through the ministry of David Grant and the youth ministry that I really answered a call to ministry, and he allowed me to serve as an intern here with the youth ministry for 2 years, and then I went to Bible College in Columbia, South Carolina, and went on to serve for 12 more years in youth ministry. That's like a veteran in youth ministry right there. You get a gold watch and everything for 12 years of youth ministry. And but it was while we were serving in South Carolina as a youth pastor that we went on a short-term trip to Jaco, Costa Rica. And we were all up and down the coast of the central coast there in Costa Rica. And as we were in Jaco, we realized there were no Bible teaching churches. We were doing evangelism. We were seeing people respond and come to the Lord, but we didn't have churches there to plug them into and to see, make sure that follow-up was happening. And so we left Jaco and we just began to pray for that region. Lord, send church planters. Lord, raise up Bible teaching churches. And about 2 years into praying that, started feeling the Lord calling us to maybe be the answer to that prayer. And
that was a surprise for you.
It was.
Real surprise for you, I take it.
It was. We ended up going on a just kind of a prayer and scouting trip to just kind of confirm that call. When we went back down there, we really had a really difficult trip that time and came back very discouraged, not certain that that's what the Lord had for us, but then felt confident that we needed to go back and to...
So you just felt this tug inside your heart, God saying, don't look at what you saw, go again.
Yeah, and I think we came back from that first, or really that second trip, that first prayer and scouting trip, and just let the emotions kind of get the best of us, if you will. And at that point, we had just had Jacob. Thomas was just a couple of years old. We were already kind of making that plan for them being raised in South Carolina in a great school district, and we had a steady job, and there was a Chick-fil-A on every corner. I mean, just all those things that you need in life. And it was just, it was really tough to surrender that. But we knew, and we ended up actually scheduling another trip. We didn't have the funds. We didn't know how the Lord was going to provide for that. Scheduled the trip, and right before we left, got a reimbursement from when we'd had Jacob. We'd overpaid the hospital, and they reimbursed us. It ended up being the exact amount for our two tickets. It was a lot cheaper for us to travel back then, just Sarah and I.
Funny and, how God does that.
Yeah. And provided we went to Hako, and in that trip had such a peace. It was really amazing how the Lord overcame those emotions, overcame those fears, and gave us a peace about being there. And we've been there. That was in 2009, and we've been there. Yeah.
Well, you guys, once you got there, you realized that God wanted you to plant a church there, and that's been a long process. But I know even part of the process was trying to pick out what would be the right name for that. And I know sometimes you think, well, that's not a big deal, but where you were, it was. So how did you come about even choosing that name, Horizon Church?
When we first got there, we partnered with a couple of different churches, and we were just that had actually just recently been planted. They needed a lot of help. And so I came in, we helped start the youth programs and the children's ministries. We were working with the music. And But a couple of years in, we just kept looking at the international community. This is an area that literally, I mean, in our church alone, we have about easily, I would say, 10 to 12 different nationalities represented, and 16 different denominations. I mean, just people from all walks of life everywhere. And we kept looking at that community and realized no one was really reaching that group of people, and just really began to pray about that. As the Lord began to confirm that call that we were to plant a church, one morning woke me up early. Now in Costa Rica, early is like 4, because by 5 o'clock the sun is up. And so
let's not go there.
Yeah. 5 to 5, that's our day. We're so close to the equator, it's really there's no daylight saving, so that's our days. And so we were, the facility you see in the video is actually a church that we had partnered with, that we were helping out. It's a Spanish church there. And so so I got up early one morning, I went out on the beach, and as I was praying, the Lord took me to a verse in Job chapter 26, verse 10, that says, "He marks out the horizon on the face of the waters for a boundary between the light and dark." And just felt like the Lord was calling us to be that boundary of darkness and light in Hako, that horizon.
And so. Well, that is great. Now, I know that, missionaries leave the church, and you guys are fixing to start build your own church, but this is the Spanish church that you stay with. Missionaries will come home on furloughs, sometimes, I guess, to refresh, but really your ministry probably energizes you. A lot is to make sure that you maintain support. But what about, what happens to the mission when you leave?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we knew the Lord was calling us to is to go and make disciples. And so we were able to just, over the last 8 years, really just begin to build up faithful disciples, followers, and people who, one of the things that we keep saying, kind of a mission of our church, is to build fully functioning followers of Christ. People that can step in, people that can serve and live out what God's called them to do. And so in that, we've been able to raise people up. And so kind of multiply ourselves. Those first few years, it was really us doing the ministry. And in the last few years, we've been able to raise up a good team of people that can sustain things. I mean, we're normally only in the States for a couple of weeks at a time. And but even right now, as we speak, service is going on there, and the music, the teaching, everything will happen. Kids Club went well yesterday. I know they did that. And so it's just those volunteers, those disciples that have been raised up to continue the work.
As you can tell, we've had a conversation before. But when we had the conversation the other day, the reason I asked that question is because he said 3 years ago, when we left and we came here, everything would stop. But he says now it'll go off without a hitch. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really what all of us are supposed to be doing. Yeah. And I think that's really neat. That's really cool. And you look at multiplying or reproducing yourselves, making disciples that can carry on the work of making disciples and stuff. Who is this guy right here? I know you could give us lots of stories, but yeah. Since I'm the pastor, I get to pick the one out we're going to hear. And so tell us about this guy.
Well, Gabe and Alejandra Fernandez. I met Gabe when we first moved to Costa Rica. One of the things that you need when you move to a new country is a translator. Mm-hmm. And Gabe is an amazing translator, gifted by God. I mean, he is really, really good. And so he was translating for me one day at a rehab that we had gone to, the minister. And as we were there, the Lord just really began to impress upon my heart that God had called him to more than just translating my words, mm-hmm. that God had gifted him and really had a calling on his life. And I began to challenge him in that, and just, what is the Lord calling you to? What does God have for you? And through our church, we were able to sponsor him to go to seminary. He's going to finish seminary. He got married last year. This is his wife. And so he'll finish seminary here in just a few weeks or a few months. And then he and his wife feel called to Senegal, which is in Western Africa. Mm-hmm. And so they're studying French right now and getting ready to go. It's kind of bittersweet because here's a guy that we've invested in for 8 years and we're really excited about, you know, and all the ways that he serves in our church and all the ways that the Lord could use him in Costa Rica. But we're also excited about the fact that we're sending out missionaries from our church there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is cool, and that is really what it's all about. And let's see, you know, I'm gonna explain a little bit about support for you here in just a second. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
You guys, we get it. Yeah, just a thank you to Eastwood Church for your prayers and your support over the last few years. I know that you gave me opportunity to speak even as we were going out, I think, years ago, and then in between we've spoken as well, and just we really appreciate it. We know that one of the reasons we're still on the field today, 8 years later, is because we have a group of people that are praying for us. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm going to let you guys sit down so you don't have to stand up for that. But let's give them a round of applause. And we are supposed to do that. The Bible tells us we're supposed to look for opportunities to honor one another. And how many of you would say that what they're doing, they're not boasting on themselves, they're boasting on the work God gave them. It's worth honoring, isn't it? That is what we want to do, and that's a really neat thing. Now, you know, at Eastwood, we don't do a lot of money-centered things. And when I was talking with Daniel the other day, it really impressed upon me, you know, this is why we do it. I had never heard it put this way before, but this is why we don't do money-centered things. In 2009, he was on the mission field, and some of you remember our economy took a big dip, and there were missionaries on the mission field out there where he was at that had to leave the mission field and go home because the funds dried up because they were funded by a church or they were funded by a wealthy individual, a benefactor. And when you have the source of God's work being financed from one place, it only takes one event to knock that out. And they were able to stay even though they were new on the mission field, and they saw people who had been on the mission field for years have to leave. And they were able to stay because he said, most of our support came from people who sent in $20 or $25. And I know there are many of you around here that have ministries that you send $20 or $25 a month to. And instead of having one source of income, and then the mission board can't finance it, and they've got to call you back. Really what God wants is all of us to follow our hearts and our calling. And we've got some people here who are really interested in India. We've got some people here who are really interested in Guatemala. We've got some people here really interested in Uganda. We've got some people really interested in Romania. We've got people who give to all kinds of different things because they feel called to be a part of that ministry. Not for someone else to do it, even the church. And our church does support them. But it's not enough. Now, if you are one that God has touched your heart and you feel like that is someone I want to be involved with in helping, don't look at a small thing you do like it's a small thing. Because it is God's people together that do great things. I heard one time that Christians are like snowflakes. They're very fragile, but when they stick together, they can stop traffic. and that's the way we are. And so we've got some up here and we've got some out there. But if you feel like this is something you want to be a part of, you can take one of his cards that's got his information on it. And you can look at his website. You can write your name and email down and they'll put you on the newsletter. And if you feel like you want to be a part of that more than just what our church is doing, there's an opportunity for you to do that. So you just follow your heart on what God wants you to do. Now, apparently, we have spent a little more time than we normally do. Because I've got 6 minutes until we're done. I'm glad I didn't hear any applause on that. Okay. But I'm going to give you a little condensed message. This is like not a sermon, but a sermonette, okay? Sermonette, hopefully not for Christianettes, but I do want to pick a couple of points out, and one of the points are some of the things that we talk about a lot here. I want you to notice that his ministry that Daniel talked about is really based upon his relationship with Christ and his personal following where God wants him to go. And what God wants him to do. Even the name of the church came as God impressed upon him what he should call it. You know, he's working in a place at a youth as a youth pastor where, I mean, let's face it, it's a big church. It's got a lot of great stuff going on there. He's got a staff that loves him and wants him to stay. And he goes on a mission trip and God grabs his heart. He's prepared, he's planned, he's got his family planted. He's in a place where everything seems to be working out great and God is working. But he gets this little tug in his heart that says, I want you to look over here. Now, he doesn't have to follow that. He can come up with a lot of good reasons why he should stay and not look at it. As a matter of fact, he didn't talk about this. But when he talked with staff members there, you know what they told him? God is using you here. You got a great ministry. Look at all the good things God is doing for you right here. We feel like we want you here. Well, sure they do. They love you. I want my kids to never leave home. Well, no, I'm kidding. We don't want them to leave. Okay, but we don't listen to other people. We shouldn't listen to other people. We should listen to what God puts in our heart. Now, the reason that he was able to hear those things is the same reason he was able to find the name for the church. And he didn't go into that story because it's a long one, but the original name they thought of, they didn't understand why, but it was turning people off, the people they were trying to reach. And so even a little thing like, you know how people stereotype things? Even the name was important, but without God impressing that on his heart, he didn't know that. But he's reading in God's word, and he's listening, and he's trying to follow God, and God impresses upon him what he wants him to do. And it's not really about what he's doing. It's about his relationship and connection with God. That's what he's trying to reproduce. He's trying to reproduce inside of himself that connection with God in other people so that they can find their callings. Not that he can manage and organize and send people out from central office in Horizon Church. He wants people like Gabe who feel called to go to Singali because he feels that same connection. You know, I was talking with a man this week, and he said that we've been going over scriptures, and we've been walking through a discipleship thing where we take one scripture a week, and we've done it for a long time. I don't know how long. He said, you know, he said, a couple weeks ago, I started thinking, you know, I'm taking this scripture and I'm meditating on it and really interacting with God on the way to work and on the way back to work. I'm taking it in my car. And somehow it just struck me, and I just felt like, you know what? I need to take this card into work. I need to have this thing in front of me all the time that I can glance and I can interact with God. And I said, well, how's that affected? How's that affected what's going on in your life? Well, it's opened up my relationship with God. It's opened up. God keeps opening his eyes. He's drawing him into a personal relationship with God where he is actually listening to his word. He is trying to obey it and follow him. And Jesus Christ is doing what he promised in John 14:21. He sees that he is loving Christ. He's loving God. He wants to hear. He wants to follow. He wants to know not just the truth and the theology. He wants to know what God wants him to do. How can he honor God? How can he please God? How can he be who God wants him to be in this moment? How can he not miss or push away what God wants him to do? How can he have God be the center of his life at that moment? He's loving God. And as he does that, his love grows, and it enables God to love him back because he's in the right place. God doesn't have to worry about blessing him and encouraging him to continue to do what's wrong. He's able to pour those blessings on him, and he's able to know God. And as that verse says at the end, I will come and reveal myself to each one of them. That's individually. And that's what we want. We want you to grow in your personal relationship with God. It's what I want for my life. I want to be closer to God. I want to be able to hear his voice better next year than I did this year. I want to be able to not walk by and miss things that God could do. You know, we sang that song, Walking Around the Walls. I love the way that verse starts off where it says, I thought by now they'd have come down. And it's talking about Joshua and them walking around walls. Remember, they got to walk around a wall 7 days. You know why they kept walking around? Because they knew that God was going to do something. You know, most people walk around the wall for a day or for 2 days. And they walk around and they think, hey, you know, what's going on? Nothing's happening right here. But when you know God loves you, you know God is doing good, you know God's hand is there, you know he is moving you, you know he spoke to your heart and you obeyed instantly, and he did something, and so you did it again, and he did something bigger, and he did it again, you did something. He's grown your faith. And so you can walk around the wall instead of quitting before God acts. And that's really what we want to do. That's what your whole ministry is about. Allowing God to build faith in you. Be around people who can see that faith in you so that they can absorb that faith into their own lives. And they can do what God wants and start transferring that down so that when we all pass away, love for Christ continues and grows. Well, that's kind of a sermonette for Christianettes. No, I think that's a sermonette for real, deep-thinking Christians, isn't it? And I think 6 minutes was probably enough. Don't applaud. We're going to save our applaud for Christ. And I'm going to ask the band to come back up here, and we are going to worship God once again. And you know all worship is? You know what worship really is? Worship is thanking God for His presence and involvement in your life. When I come to worship, what I'm really doing is I'm saying, Lord, I cannot believe that you see me. I cannot believe how great you are. I cannot believe you forgive me. I cannot believe that you will take me and you're going to do something with my life after everything I've done. But you are so great. You are so amazing. I can't believe I'm here. I just have to stop and say thank you. Thank you that I am here. That's what worship is. It's not singing songs. It's not understanding who God is. It's about our hearts seeing and realizing how great God is. And when we love Him, He loves us back, and we experience Him, and that is worship. And so we have an opportunity right now to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that only comes from our hearts. And so as we have this time to respond, it means whether you're right up here or whether you want to come down here or whatever you want to do, you don't worship if you're not responding to God's love. So this is a time between you and God just to open your heart and give yourself completely in praise and thanksgiving and in service to the Creator of the universe. Well, if you'll stand with me, we're going to pray. Lord, you gave up everything for us. You came down from the glory and the luxury of heaven that we can't even imagine into this earth and took the form of a little baby. You endured this life and grew and took on all the opposition against God as you proclaimed the truth of your Father's great love for us. You suffered and you died on the cross to pay for our sins, that we would know that the heart of God is willing to sacrifice even His own Son, that we might be in His family. We are bought with a price of your precious blood, and we belong to you. Our hearts belong to you, our lives belong to you. Everything in this world belongs to you, and yet some of it doesn't know it. We know it. We know we're yours. And we are grateful. We thank you and we praise you because we're yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.